want to thank all of you for allowing me the honor and the privilege of being your servant. Some of you, I found out last night from a young man that we first made acquaintance when he was 18 years old. He's now 44. And he still says he comes every time he can when I'm in the area. And there are some of you in this room that go even back farther than that. There are people in this room that were part of a baby shower for my son. I call him John Bubba. And now John Bubba has a baby, Bubba. And his name is Grayson Daniel. Guys, you go back 30 years, and it's been my honor. It's been my privilege. It has been humbling to be your servant. It is an honor to be a servant of people that are hungry for the truth, that are hungry for God, that want God with all their heart. And guys, I am proud to call you my friends, and I'm proud to call you my family. Would you just give the Lord a hand of praise right now? Father God, I want to thank you personally. Before I go any farther tonight, you have given me the awesome responsibility to preach your word. The word preacher in the Greek means be a spokesman for. I am aware of the fact that I'm speaking for you on your behalf, what you would have to say. That is a tremendous and heavy, heavy load. And God, I ask you tonight to continue what you've done. That's why people are coming out so hungry. What you started on Sunday morning, then you gave us a manifestation of it Sunday night. Then you've taught us about it Monday and Tuesday and tonight and tomorrow and Friday night, should you tarry. And thank you, Lord, and I am amazed and we are grateful for the revelation you have given us about the Lamb of God. And we realize as a people that the only one that can save us now, the only hope America has is in one man, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And God, I give you all the praise and I give you all the glory in the name of Jesus for everything that is done in this house by and through the Lamb of God. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise as you say amen. Brother Randy, I heard that you and Sister Rita would be here tonight, and I was real excited about that because you're one of my dearest and oldest friends, not age-wise, but length of time. But I was more excited because if I've ever known a man that had a heart for revival, if I ever knew a man that had a heart for God's word, the truth, unapologetic, it is this man right here. And I've got a word tonight, but before I can bring that word, I want to just thank our young people that have come out every single night in force and led and participated. And I don't wear a tie because my neck is kind of large for a person my size, and so when I get a shirt that fits my neck, it hangs on me like a sack, and I sweat so bad I can't get the ties off. But we even had a couple of young gentlemen show up to church tonight in ties. Aren't you glad there's some young people that are excited? They're excited. And they're representing the kingdom of God, and they're doing it well. This week we've been, I don't know how you felt about it. I believe you felt the same way I have. I've been amazed at the ongoing revelation that God has so graciously put in my spirit to share with you. It has been God, I believe in my heart, it has been God's spirit speaking literally into my spirit. I'm thankful when God speaks to my mind and tells me what to say or what to do. But when he speaks something into your spirit, it just explodes as it comes out of your heart to the heart of God's people. And tonight's message is a continuation. I had no idea that God was going to carry this all the way through Friday night. Guys, listen to me. We have got to get a revelation of the Lamb of God. We've just got to see him for who he is and what he is. And saints of God, we have been so privileged that God just started revealing and unveiling through his word how so many people had seen the Lamb of God. In the New Testament, it begins with John the Baptist, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." How many remember when you saw the Lamb of God for the first time and gave your life to Jesus Christ and he took away your sins? Would you give the Lamb of God a hand of praise and thank him? And then we found out that many, many people in the Old Testament obviously must have seen the Lamb of God. We know that Job, the oldest book in the Bible, that he saw the Lamb of God as few have ever seen him. He didn't just see the Lamb of God going to the cross, but he saw the Lamb of God after the rapture of the church, when he comes back at the second advent and stands upon the planet earth. And he said, "I'm going through a bad time right now, but I know that no matter what I go through, that the day's gonna come where I'm gonna see my Redeemer face to face, because I know that my Redeemer liveth and I see him standing on the planet earth someday." Somebody shout hallelujah. And we know that through that revelation, that Job not only go through his trial, but he got back double of everything that he had lost prior to the trial. The Bible tells us that the latter days of his life were far greater than the former days. I know this in my heart, and so do you. That's why you're here. If we could get a fresh revelation of the Lamb of God, our future will be so far greater than our past. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Then we discovered that Father Abraham, he also had a vision of the Lamb of God. And because of that vision, God gave him an entire country. Because of that vision, God gave him a child when he was 100 years old. Because of that vision, God called upon him to make intercession for Sodom and Gomorrah. And I said it last night, but I'm going to say it again, because it was not preacher talk. It was a divine mandate from God. God spoke to me in a season of time and fasting. And he said, "If I can just get 10%. God said to Abraham, "If there's just 10 righteous men, I can save Sodom and Gomorrah for the 10 righteous sake." And God spoke clearly to my spirit that if he can find 10%, just 10% of the spirit-filled church that will take what's going on in the world seriously and seek God's face as if our life depends on it, God would spare America for the 10% sake. I believe I'm preaching to the 10%. Then we found out that his grandson, Jacob, in a very, very frightful time in his life, all alone in the wilderness, had no idea when he laid his head on that rock how his life was about to be changed. Because while he did that, heaven was open. Saints of God, I'm telling you, the heavens are opened over Central Alabama. I'm telling you something that you already know. Something is about to come out of heaven on Central Alabama that's going to turn this nation upside right. And then he saw the open heaven. He saw angels descending. He saw angels ascending. Brother Randy, I don't understand all the Bible, but that would certainly imply to me that there's a lot of angelic activity going on in the lives of believers who are under an open heaven. But more important than the angels, far more important than the angels, at the top of that ladder, he saw a vision of the Lamb of God. And when he saw that vision, suddenly all of his problems ended at that moment. Oh yes, he had to walk through them, but God made him a promise. He reaffirmed all the promises that he made to his father Abraham. Saints of God, you may be in a wilderness right now. You may be using a rock for a pillow, but get your eyes off your circumstance and remember the precious promises that God gave you. It cannot end like this, because that's not what God spoke to you. You may have to walk through some stuff, but that thing isn't final. "For yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And then guys, today, and pray for Brother John, because tomorrow night's going to be a continuation, and God began to open up Rhema to me, and I'm going to write as much as I can tonight, And then Friday night is going to be a tremendous miracle service. And God showed me even more rhema about the Lamb of God. And saints of God, I'm going to say something. And I'm just going to get it out of the way. Saints of God, I know that many of you have to get up very, very early in the morning. I know many of you come to church exhausted and you make a sacrifice to get here because you go to work so early in the morning. Some of you come straight from your place of employment, skipping even eating so you can get to the house of God. I am mindful of your time. I'm mindful of your schedule. And I know that these messages have been 45 minutes to an hour. But saints of God, I have to understand something. It's not my message. It's God's message, and I'm not going to insult God the Father by trying to tell people that I can explain the Lamb of God in a 20-minute sermonette. He is the Lamb of God who was slain. We've got to know the truth in order to go free. So bear with me, although I won't purposely go long, at the same time, I'm not going to sell the or make the message seem trivial by trying to do it as fast as I can. And in so doing, rob God's people of the revelation of the Lamb of God. And guys, as I was preparing today, God threw me a koi ball for about someone or someones who had seen the Lamb of God and is essential to where we're at right now as a people. And then I'm going to go further into this truth because, guys, if you're spiritual, you know America's in trouble. And either we repent of our backsliding and turn to God or judgment will come upon this land. It's not too late, Brother Randy. How do I know? Because if it was too late, God wouldn't have me preaching repentance if it was too late to repent. But what we do, we must do quickly. Somebody shout hallelujah. I want you to do God a favor. Guys, the devil sucker punched me, but with the Lord's help, he ain't never gonna get away with it again. Had I realized the perverted sick person that was gonna be entertaining at the Super Bowl at the halftime show, I would have sent letters to the studio. I would have sent letters to the NFL complaining. Do you know that Christians are still the largest minority in the United States of America? 32% of America claim to be Christian. And I'll guarantee you, if we sent the NFL a bunch of letters and that network a bunch of letters and say the next time you put a devil worshiper, a demon worshiper to do the show at halftime, I'm not putting on the show. And just one time, if just one time, Christians in America would put God first and say, I can miss one Super Bowl to get the message across that I'm not tolerating this nonsense anymore. There's one God and his name. Let me tell you something, saints. You say, Brother John, you seem like you're getting angry. The Bible says anger and sin not. I'm not going to shoot nobody. I'm not going to bomb nobody. I'm not going to harm anybody. But I'm going to tell you something else. I'm not bowing either. And I'm not being quiet anymore. And I'm not being intimidated by a bunch of seeker-sensitive folks and a bunch of politically correct folks in the backing off on things that I know must be addressed. And saints of God, we don't do it judgmentally. We do it with a heart of mercy that if people will repent, God will forgive their sins and cleanse them of all unrighteousness. But I'm here to tell you, a nation will not repent until the truth is preached to that nation. It just won't happen. Let me give you what God showed me about a revelation of the Lamb. In Daniel chapter 6, please give the PowerPoint lady a tremendous hand back there tonight. She has made this job possible. Without her help, I wouldn't be able to do this nearly as efficiently as the Lord has made it possible. And it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and answered. They were given an ultimatum. When the horn goes off, when the blast comes out, you either bow or you die. I said, you bow or you die. Guys, if I condone something, if I approve of something, if I don't stand against something that I know is wrong, I'm bowing. And I made up my mind that I'm not bowing anymore. And I listen to what I'm saying. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and answered and said to the king, I'm not talking about civil disobedience. I'm not talking about going out and having a riot. I'm not talking about breaking the law. I'm talking about standing upon God's word. And it says, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, how many of you want to see the Lamb of God? How many want to see him with your eyes? Now, how many want to really get a divine, supernatural revelation of the Lamb of God that can only come through the supernatural power of God? Then there are things we've got to do. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. When it comes to obeying the laws of the land, I'm going to obey the laws of the land. But I don't have to participate in everything the law says I can do. If I'm in Colorado, I'm not going to buy me an ounce of weed and go to smoking pot. Come on, somebody. If we legalize drugs in this country, do you know what's going to happen? We're going to have a nation full of crazed drug addicts, of which I used to be one. And I'm telling you, And they were told about the law that when the trumpet sounds, you got to bow. Then they're confronted by the king and said, what are you going to do? Tell me right now, what are you going to do? And they said, we're not even going to be careful. I don't even have to pray. I'm tired, folks. I mean, I'm not y'all. I love y'all. I love it. But I'm tired of folks telling me I'm going to pray about it when it's something the Bible says they're supposed to do. You don't have to pray about something. I know. I'm just getting excited here. And listen to this. And he said, we are not careful. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to go home and study the Bible for an hour. I don't have to pray and fast to know the answer. We're not careful. I'm telling you, there's enough junk and enough garbage on Facebook. But if you're going to get on Facebook the NFL and say, we are not going to tolerate this anymore. We won't do it. Text and write the network and say, if you even suggest having a halftime show like you did this year, we're not watching. And find out what happened if every real Christian turned off the television the next Super Bowl. Find out what would happen. We'd have them on our knees begging. Oh, come on now. Guys, it's time to use the power of the police. It's time to stop paying the devil to flourish in our country. It is time to cut off the source. And Nebuchadnezzar said, we're not even careful about this. To answer thee in this matter, this is a no-brainer. You don't have to think about this. Notice verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning furnace, that fiery furnace, great. If God delayed, that tells me that they didn't know going in if they were coming out. He said, if he delivers us, wonderful. But if he don't deliver us, listen to this. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. In other words, if we die in the fire, we're still going to be in the hands of God. And our God is going to deliver us one way from another, because you're not my king. Notice the next voice. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship thy golden image, which thou hast set up. Let it be known tonight. And I'm not being political, I'm being spiritual. I don't care what they say on one side of the aisle or the other side of the aisle. I will not bow to Islam. I will not bow to Muhammad. I will not be a part of Sharia law. Furthermore, I will not bow to any God other than my God. I said, I'm not bowing. The hour has come for Christians to stand up and say, we're smart enough to be able to read and study. We know what Islam stands for. We know what Sharia law is, and we will not bow. We will not condone. We're not afraid of reproach. We're going to make a stand that there's but one God, and his name is Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody. Now listen, listen, they said we ain't gonna, don't even think about it. But now notice what happens in voice 25. You say, Brother John, you're being defiant. No, I'm not. The devil has intimidated us. If we stand up for what we believe in, you're a homophobe. If you stand up for what you believe in, you're intolerant. I'm not telling them they don't have a right to religion. What I'm telling them is that it isn't a holiday tree. It's a Christmas tree. And the day you take Christ out of Christmas, it just becomes a pagan holiday. And I don't want anything to... Bear with me. I know it's hokey-dokey. But because they made the stand, you know what they did? That old wicked king, he got so mad, he turned up the heat 7 times. When we take a stand as a choice, but be prepared, the devil's going to turn up the heat 7 times. But listen what happens. And the king says, and he answered and said, lo, I don't understand this. I see 4 men, and we threw them in with their hands tied and their feet tied, and now they're loosed. The only thing that got burned in the fire was the things that were holding them bondage. Saints of God, listen to this. And he answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. We found out that when John the Baptist pointed at Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God, he followed that statement up immediately with that he is the Son of God. If you want to see the Lamb of God, don't bend, don't break, and baby, you won't burn. If you find yourself in the fire, you want to turn this nation around? God gave me a prophetic word about some things going on in the political realm today, which I will not share from the pulpit, and I won't share it unless the Lord tells me to, other than with my wife. But notice voice 28. You want to change things in this country? Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If we don't make a stand and we end up taking the consequences for that stand, and then God supernaturally, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, shows up for us in the midst of that fire, it is no other way to witness to a world that has been deceived by the spirit of Antichrist, that are in total darkness, they're totally blind. But when God, the Lamb of God, shows up in the midst of the persecution, then the world will know, then the leaders will know. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered, now we know it's the Son of God, and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they may not serve nor worship any god, small g, except their God, big G. When we make a stand, at first we may be persecuted, at first there may be an attack against us, but when we make that stand, God will show up, God will show out, and then the world will know, God will change. I'm telling you, Nebuchadnezzar does not become converted here, but he was scared enough to make a decree. There's a lot of men that aren't going to serve God, but they can get scared into doing what's right when they see the Lord. Well, come on, somebody. Behold the Lamb of God. Notice the next voice, please. Therefore, I make a decree, like God needed him to do this. Therefore, I make a decree. I make a decree that every people, nation, and language, there are 120 provinces under his leadership, which speaketh anything amiss, anything amiss. Isn't it amazing that all these false religions, they can go around with freedom of speech and say all kinds of horrible, incredibly insulted things about Christians. The only people in this country that are being treated like we don't have a right to freedom of speech is the Christian church. And it says, that speaketh anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Everybody wave your hand. I ain't gonna cut nobody to pieces. And their house shall be made into a dunghill. I am tired of Washington, D.C. being a dunghill in the eyes of God. And I think it's time for the child of God to stand up, no matter what the repercussion, no matter what the consequences, and say there's... Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Notice the next thing. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the province of Babylon. God spoke to me clearly today that if we, the 10%, will seek the face of God, there will be such a manifestation of the Lamb of God in this nation that even people that have no intention of serving him will begin to make decisions according to what he says, because they're going to be in awe and fear. Now understand something. There's no man that can stand in the presence of God and not be left in a state of awe and fear. Now let's go on with the message from last night. How many believe it's time for us as the body of Christ to stand up for what we know is right in a godly way, in a loving way, and then God will manifest during our season of persecution should it come, and then the world will see and leaders will change their mind and begin to speak things according. Listen to me, saints. Now notice what in Isaiah chapter 6. Last night I shared, did you guys tape last night? If you want a copy of the series, go back there and get them, because I talked about this last night, but we got to pick up where we left off last night. In the year that King Uzziah died, Israel is facing great change. Their king, who had been king for 50 years, has died. They don't know what the future holds. So the prophet of God is seeking God. And not only has Uzziah been the king for 50 years, he was his personal friend. So he's seeking God with a broken heart. And in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. How many were here last night? Let me see your hands. How many were excited as God revealed to us that what he saw is what John the Revelator saw in chapter 5 of the book of Revelation? He saw the Lamb of God. Someone throw your hands up and say, behold the Lamb of God. High and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Saying to God, God's word said, he sent his word and healed them. I will be as fast as I can. But how many of you came expecting a miracle tonight? How many of you came expecting a healing tonight? Then God will send his word, and that word will be confirmed with signs following. Notice voice number 2. And heal them. Above it stood the seraphims. Each had 6 wings. I'm just touching on this because if you get the tape from last night, I taught on it in more detail, but I'm not going to do it all over again tonight. With 20 he covered his face, with 20 he covered his feet, and with 20 he did fly. Now notice voice 3. And one cried unto the other and said, holy, holy, holy. Someone say, holy, holy, holy. When we get a vision of the Lamb of God, praise will burst out of our lives. We'll begin to worship God when you see God. Oh, saints of God, that's what the problem with seeker-sensitive preaching is. Seeker-sensitive preaching is trying to convince us that God wants to become like us, when the whole part of the plan of salvation was so that God could make us like him. We're not trying. And one cried unto the other and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Somebody shout, holy. Someone shout, holy. Now notice the next voice. Sometimes people get real nervous when people get spontaneous. And didn't the choir do a great job tonight? And somebody give the Lord a hand for that. And people get loud in their worship. But notice how loud it got. And the doors of the posts, or the posts of the doors, moved with the voice of him that cried. This is the temple in heaven. You gotta know it was built better than any building has ever been built on the planet Earth. This isn't the door vibrating. This is the very frame that held the door in place vibrating. Saying to God, we ain't heard nothing yet. When we get to heaven, the praise is gonna be so loud that the very temple will vibrate. Well, somebody shout hallelujah. This kind of praise explodes out of people that have had a vision of the Lamb of God. And the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Notice voice number 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Saints of God, I am a man who is saved by the grace and the mercy of God. I'm not preaching condemnation, but when you have a real encounter with the Lamb of God, the first thing that happens, I believe for a person to really get converted to Christianity, there has to be that awareness that their sinful self, and they have to be an awareness of just how far from God they have gotten. When they stand in the presence of God, the only thing that that can come out of their mouth at first is, woe is me. I see myself as you see me, God, and I am completely undone. How many remember the day when God brought you into his presence and you were undone? You saw, oh, come on, somebody. Now bear with me, saints of God. I believe that when we get a fresh vision of the Lamb of God, the church, the body of Christ, will be so undone with the things of this world that we won't tolerate it in our lives anymore. Guys, I was chief of all sinners, and I'm saved by the grace and the mercy of God. I'm a work in progress. I haven't arrived yet, but when I stand in the presence of a holy God, there's a breaking in me that says, whoa, I'm undone. I've got to change. God, somebody shout hallelujah. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell all the things that carelessly come out of our mouths. The slander. Sometimes, saints of God, we've got to become so careful. We may say something in that moment of ignorance that reflects on a minister's character, male or female, and that may be the very person that God is going to use to bring our child to the Lord. And now we have filled their heads with doubt about their character and their integrity. Oh, some of the silly things that come out of our mouth, off-color things. I'm not talking, oh, you know what I'm saying. There's just no room for that in the vernacular of a Christian. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Why did he say this? Why did he say, what made this change? This is the prophet Isaiah. He's a chosen man of God. But something has happened. And he said, for my eyes have seen. We know what he saw according to Revelations 5, 4 and 5. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Saints of God, when we see the Lamb of God, we will see him as King of Kings. We will see him as Lord of Lords. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Notice the next voice, if you please. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand. Do you know where that coal came from? When the Passover lamb is sacrificed, the blood was applied to the doorpost. You know that part. Then they would eat the lamb, and then whatever was left of it was to be burnt till there was nothing left but ashes. Because on the day of the Passover, the first Passover, there wasn't an altar in the homes, and this represented the burnt offering. When you could put something on the altar as a burnt offering, when God forgives you of your sins, he cleanses you of all unrighteousness, and he does that by cremating them. That's what burnt offering is. It's total cremation. So what this coal came from was off the altar of burnt sacrifice. This is total atonement. This is the work that only the Lamb of God can do in you. And notice what happens here. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal off the altar, off the burnt offering, which he had taken with the thongs from off the altar. Notice verse 7. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away. Aren't you glad that when God convicts you of your flesh and things in your life, it's never to condemn you, but it is to bring you into a place where you can talk for him and speak. Oh, somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. That word purged means to be whitened with the most powerful bleach. It means to be as white as snow. Notice voice 8. I heard the voice of the Lord saying. Now understand, a couple of verses before, woe is me. I don't belong here. I'm a man, I'm undone. I see myself as I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. But now God says, after he was touched by the effect of the burnt offering, which is the Lamb of God being burnt to nothing left but ashes, he said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who shall go for us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Then said I, here am I, send me. the very same man that says, I'm undone in the presence of God, is now saying, God, such as I am, here am I, send me. How many are glad that God can clean you up? How many are glad that God didn't just save you from your sin, he saves you from your sin? How many are glad that Jesus said to that woman caught in the act of adultery, go and sin no more? Somebody give the Lord a hand clap. Aren't you glad? See, only the Lamb of God can produce that kind of sanctification in us. Only the supernatural encounter. That's what I've been talking about this week. Notice the next voice, please. And he said, go and tell this people. I don't know, guys, America's in trouble. Any nation that thinks we can murder babies at a millions a year and God's not going to say anything or do anything. Guys, you need to understand something. You know why I said what I said at the beginning of the service about the Super Bowl? I got no dog in this fight. I can turn that TV off and never watch another football game as long as I live, even though I like football. You know why I said it? Because God will not bless what isn't his. And when you have a nation that gravitates to demons and demon worship, then that's the only thing they're going to get, what demons do. They come to kill, steal, and destroy. Somebody shout hallelujah. I got no dog in this fight. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, see you indeed, and perceive not. Notice, saints of God, in Romans chapter 1, God calls certain things an abomination. God ain't gonna bless an abomination. To think that this behavior can go unaltered and nothing happen to us as a nation is just pure foolishness. But please notice what is said from here. This mic ain't working, is it? Is it working? Is it good? Good, it's working. Good, it's working. Good. But he said, go and tell this people, you hear indeed. There's Christian television everywhere. We got satellites owned by Christians. But how many of those people are telling folks the Lord's coming? 95% of all Americans believe in heaven, but only 5% believe in hell. There's a big push going on in the universities of America. It's called the grace culture. Those of you who go to college know what I'm talking about. You know what the grace culture believes? The grace culture believes if you get saved, then you get to go to heaven and live with Jesus forever. But if you don't get saved, don't worry about it. Poof, you're gone. Because God would never let anyone go to hell. You see, there's a problem. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but ye understand not. Ye hear enough to talk about me, but you really not saying what I'm saying. And you see ye indeed, but you perceive. Now, wait a minute, I want to see your hands. I'm preaching to the choir. I know I'm preaching to the choir. But God's going to touch your lips with fire off the burnt offering, and now you're going to go and tell people why America's in the mess it's in. America's in the mess it's in because we've sinned against God. Notice voice number 10, please. Make the heart of this people fat. They put me on cholesterol medicine. I understand what that means, Brother Sullivan, is that I got too much fat in my heart. It says, make the heart of this people fat. And can you hear me? Give me a mic. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. That's better. There's good, better, and best. This is best. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You got to hear this. It says, make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy. And shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. When we begin to hear the word of God and take all the word of God and believe what it says, we will begin to experience supernatural healing in our bodies. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of prayer. I'm hurrying now. I'm so glad I got two more nights to finish all this. But I can't stop yet because I have a very important message from the Master. A very important message of hope, but also sound the alarm in Zion. Notice verse 11. Then said I, Lord, how long? How long, God? How long, Lord? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitation, and the houses without a man, and the land be utterly destroyed? Isaiah calls a backslidden Israel to repentance. But because they did not hear his call, the book of Jeremiah has to be written. And the book of Lamentations has to be written. And the saddest thing in the Bible is Jeremiah and Lamentations never had to be written had the children of Israel responded to the call that God, oh, somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Judgment starts. Now notice the next voice. You guys are being wonderful. And the Lord have removed men afar off, our boys and girls in all these wars. And there will be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. They're claimed to be a Christian land, but there'll be a forsaking from the truth. You say, Brother John, you're just hobby horsing. You're just one of them old time legal. No, I'm not. But I'm not ashamed of sanctification either. And I'm not ashamed of holiness. I'm not ashamed of the word of God. We've all failed God. Just because we've failed God doesn't mean his word isn't true. It doesn't mean there isn't a standard.